unto our lives. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, here at Liberty on Easter morning. I want to read this text. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, let me tell you, the Sabbath has passed. It's a new day now. It's called Sunday. And no longer do we worship God on the Sabbath. We worship Him 7 days a week. But on the first day is when God has instructed us to come together as Christian people that are saved by the grace of God and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so the Bible said very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Well, they didn't know the sun had done got up. They said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. They had to be Baptists for sure. Amen. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, y'all better go to counting your math. He didn't die on Friday. Amen. You'd be surprised what men have told. It's not in the Bible. He got up on Sunday morning. Hard to be in the grave 3 days. Die on Friday. Amen. Anyway, I don't want to mess you up. I just want to keep a preaching. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. She went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country, they went and told it to the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, upbraided them with their unbelief, hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had risen, had seen him that was risen. He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you, and so we thank you for this time together today. God, I pray you'd help me preach a few minutes. Lord, I pray you'd let me be a blessing to the people of God today. Thank you for the songs of Zion. Thank you, Lord, for your presence about us today. And on this Easter morning, may we realize, Lord, that you got out of the grave to help us and, God, to give us hope. We're thankful for that promise in our lives this morning. Help us in our church now. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. As the pastor, I looked this morning at all of the little ones that was gathered here. And what's going on in our country, I'm more reminded every Sunday morning as your children come and do their giving to the Lord in that little bucket of how important it is that we carry on the gospel banner of the Lord Jesus Christ to let these little ones know that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Now, in the reading of the text of Mark's Gospel 16 today, you'll notice the Bible said that after Jesus had got out of the grave, he appeared in 3 areas to 3 different people, or 3 different groups of people. He said that he went first to Mary Magdalene, whom he had cast out 7 devils. I want to say this morning, I don't care what you've done or how long you've been doing it, Jesus saves. And a lot of people think, well, I'm way too wicked for God. No, you're not too wicked for God. I wasn't too wicked for God. God sent His Son to die for everybody. And I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're doing. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ can set you free this morning. And He saved Mary, whom He'd cast out 7 devils. No telling what the background of this lady had done. No telling of what kind of sin that she was caught up in. There's no telling that the sin that's in the lives of the people in our culture and in our country today. But Jesus is the hope for every sinner under my voice in this hour. And so Jesus done something great for this lady, the Bible said. And then she went and told others. In verse 11, when they heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. And then verse 12, He appeared to another group of people. He appeared to them in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. A lot of times we think that Jesus comes the same way, but Jesus presents Himself in many different ways. Jesus can present Himself to you through your children or through someone else. Jesus can present Himself to you through tragedies. Jesus don't always come the same every time. He went unto them to another form. And then lastly, He went unto those 11 as they sat at meat in the upper room. And this morning I want to preach on those 3 instances real briefly and give you a glimpse of what He's talking about. Turn in your Bibles today in John 20, and you'll notice in verse number 11, Jesus, when He was risen, He came to a daughter at the tomb. He came to a daughter at the tomb. The Bible said in John 20 and verse number 11, that Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And she seeth 2 angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid Him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing Him to have been the gardener. And saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Here Jesus appeared to a daughter at the tomb. You'll notice that Mary was upset. She could not find where they had put Him. And that ought to strike a nerve in all of our hearts that are saved this morning. When we go to areas and people proclaim to worship God, it ought to upset us when we cannot find Him. Can I tell you that He needs to be the center focus of our attention? He ought to be the one that we're fixed and fastened upon. For I'm going to tell you, only Jesus can help us in this day and in this hour. She was upset because she couldn't find Him. But all of a sudden, Jesus spoke to her. And notice, she was weeping. Have you ever noticed in the weeping moments of life, and you feel like that He's not even no place near? But can I tell you all through this Bible, when people were filled with tears and when people were weeping, there was Jesus came upon the scene. It gives me hope this morning when I feel like that Jesus is not there. In my weeping moments, Jesus will present Himself to me. And look what He done. He knew her by name. Does Jesus know you by name? He said, Mary. She supposed Him to have been the gardener. But when Jesus called her name, can I tell you that Gethsemane didn't change His voice? Calvary did not change His voice. And the tomb did not change His voice. Jesus' voice is the same. I'm glad I know it when He calls my name. He said, Mary. She said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master or Lord. Is He your Master and Lord this morning? Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus presented Himself to a daughter at the tomb. Aren't you glad we've got a God that'll go into some sad places with you? There's people sitting all in this building today that's been through some very sad places in life. Now, I've noticed this a lot of times when I think that the Lord, Brother Mike, when I think that He's the furthest, at times He's the closest. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And the Lord knew that Mary needed a word. I wonder, do you need a word in your situation this morning? He came to her and simply did not express Himself no other way, but He called her name. I'm glad when God called her name. It helps us in our mourning experiences. So Jesus came. And He presented Himself to the daughter at the tomb. But secondly, Mark's gospel tells us that He not only came to a daughter at the tomb, but He came to those that was discouraged in their gloom. Discouraged in their gloom. That's in Luke 24. Isn't it amazing of all the places that Jesus could have went? He chose to go to a daughter at the tomb, but then secondly, He decided to go to the discouraged sitting in gloom in Luke 24 and 13. Life is discouraging. You know, a lot of people will tell you, well, you shouldn't be discouraged, but sometimes discouragement comes. And in Luke 24 and 13, the Bible said, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs or some 7 miles. And they talked together of these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Jesus took it upon His own self to come near unto them. And I want to tell you today that you may be sitting here so discouraged and you're sitting in gloom. The Lord has a word for you. And I want you to notice what He said in verse 17. He came to them and He said, what manner of communications are these that you have one another as you walk and are sad? Jesus was interested in how we felt. They were walking together. They had just left Jerusalem. They could not find Him, and they were walking back home. And here Jesus appears unto them, and He said, why are you walking looking so sad? They said, well, hadn't you heard? Are you a stranger here, and you heard what's going on? We can't find Him. We suppose that He would have been the king. Well, He was the king. And so certainly Jesus gives them three important statements here in their discouragement, in their gloom. He said in verse number 17, He said, why are you so sad? And what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? First of all, let me tell you this morning, don't mingle with discouraging talk. Don't mingle with discouraging talk. You know, you can get around some people and they'll bring so much discouragement to you. Like sometimes you'll call and check on them, you say, oh mercy, I wish I hadn't called them. They'll get you so discouraged. And so Jesus came to these two that was walking and He tells them, don't mingle with discouraging talk. Then verse 18, He tells them, don't make your own disturbing things. The Bible said, and one of them whose name was Cleopas answered and said to Him, aren't thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, what things? They said unto Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, He is a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and the people. So don't major on disturbing things. When things happen, we don't need to major on the non-positive things. I find myself a lot of times just looking for the things that are bad, but we need to change that type of mindset and get to thinking about the things that are positive. Hey, don't major on people that have hurt you. Major on people that's been good to you. Don't major on people that's hurt you and afflicted you. Major on people that has been good to you. And so Jesus directs them, don't mingle with discouraging talk. Be careful who you run with. Find somebody that will encourage you in life. Don't major on disturbing things. And then verse 21, don't meditate on disrupting thoughts. See, they told Jesus, here's a astounding verse. He said, I want to know why y'all are sad. And he said, well, this is why. Verse 21, but we trusted that it had been. Have your feelings ever been hurt? Have you ever been let down? Has things not worked out the way you thought they would? Well, here Jesus comes to some people that some things had not worked out how they thought. They said, now, we trusted that it had been. It was past tense. Can I tell you? We need to get out of past tense trusting and trust Jesus today. We trusted. They didn't say we're trusting, but we trusted. Can I tell you that He's still the one to trust right now? Not only have I trusted Him, but I'm trusting in Him this morning. And so we see as Jesus got out of the grave, He appeared to a daughter at the tomb. He discouraged the two that was discouraged in their gloom. And by the way, when they got ready to go home that night, Jesus went into their house and they didn't even know it was Jesus. The Bible said that He broke bread and blessed it. Then they knew it was the Lord, and then their heart caught a fire. And they went back to Jerusalem a different way. It'd be amazing what would happen to us this morning if the fire would catch up again in our heart. Let it burn bright again for the Lord Jesus. Go around with a smile on our face. The right kind of attitude. Telling people that Jesus saves and Jesus is good. And by the way, Jesus has been good to me. I've got nothing shameful about Jesus. He's been the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. And so Jesus appeared to a daughter at the tomb. And Jesus appeared, no doubt, to these discouraged in their gloom. But lastly, John 20:19, I want you to see this. Jesus appeared the third time to His disciples in a room. They were in an upper room that night. Their Lord had been crucified. The stone was rolled away. They were very upset because of religious people. If you want to find some mean people, just get involved in some religious people. They'll be the meanest people that you've ever met as just old religious people. They don't know nothing about Jesus. All they know about is the commandments, the law, and doing good and trying to do right. And church is such a burden to them kind of people. But friend, when you get saved and Jesus comes to live in your heart, He'll change your experience at church. And so here Jesus comes to the disciples in the upper room. John 20:19, the same day at evening. Jesus had been busy that day, hadn't He? He went to Mary there at the tomb. He had went to these two that were walking on the Emmaus Road. But now, lastly, He comes to the disciples. And the Bible said, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, on Sunday, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. You know what I've noticed behind the door with Jesus? There's peace. A lot of you're looking for peace in no doubt many different things that this world has to offer. Peace in things, peace in alcohol, peace in drugs. And I pursued peace that way a long time. Matter of fact, I've done some things that I'm very ashamed of, and I won't give the devil credit, but I will give God the credit. Over 30-something years ago, I met my wife in Panama City Beach, Florida. I smoked an ounce of weed a week. I know I wasn't supposed to be doing it, but I loved it. I got to running with the wrong crowd. Then God sent a man with the gospel down where I lived and shared with me Jesus. That Sunday morning, back behind this church, through that pine thicket about 4 miles, there's a country church out there called Sandy Flat Baptist Church. That old man of God that's in heaven this morning, he preached. He said, if I'd come, Jesus would receive me. I stepped out, and friend, when I stepped out, my whole life changed. Well, why do you say that? I say I'm ashamed of a lot of things I've done, but I'm glad Jesus saved me, moved in my heart. And then when I started to do them things again, it bothered me. It lets me know that I'm saved. Friend, let me tell you, when you get saved, you still sin, but you won't enjoy sinning. I'm glad there's a God that'll come in with you behind closed doors and do a great work and give you peace in your heart. Man, I laid down that night. I never had so much peace in all my life. Let me tell you something, friend. The Lord's still a-coming. Don't you let this liberal crowd tell you nothing no different. Jesus is high and holy. You must be born again by the grace of God. Hell will be your home one morning if you don't get saved by the grace of God. No! When I got behind the door with Jesus, He gave me peace in my heart that I was looking for years. I'd smoke that weed, I'd have peace a little while, but I'd come back down to all my issues. Oh, Jesus now gives me peace. And let me tell you something. I know some of y'all may think it's strange I say this. I'm about done preaching. But I don't want to die right now. I've had a pretty good day. I don't. I want to go home and eat dinner, Miss Peggy, with them grandbabies. Let them hunt them eggs, amen. I'm going to sit there and watch them and ride the golf cart and enjoy life. But let me tell you something, Brother Adam. If God calls this preacher out this evening, don't nobody worry where I'm at, honey. Hey, I'll be saved in heaven city because I got the peace of God that lives in my heart this morning. A peace that church never gave me. Peace that parents never gave me. Peace that only Jesus, the love of God, gave me. You see, Jesus came and appeared to these and He gave them peace. Then He gave them proof. He showed to them His hands and His side. Isn't that amazing? When they seen them nail-scarred hands, they said, well, that's the Lord. Can I tell you, in heaven this morning, He still bears the scars of Calvary. And you know who put those scars in Jesus' hands? In His side and in His feet, you and I did. For He took your sin and my sin that we could be free. Isn't that amazing that God sent His Son? You see, God gave the commandments to show us how wicked we are. But He gave us His Son that we could be saved by grace through faith. And this morning, behind the door as He appeared, Miss Kathy, I want you to come. I want you to sing me a song this morning as we close. Miss Kathy, appreciate you being here today. You see, when Jesus came and presented Himself to the disciples, He gave them peace. He gave them proof. And then church, this is where we need to get right here. And I'm done preaching. I want to show you this. And I want you to remember this week. The Bible said, and when He had showed them His hands and His side, then were disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Do you have peace this morning? Do you really have peace? He said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And Brother Mike, when he had said this, he breathed on them. And said to them, receive you the Holy Ghost. You see, behind the door with Jesus, there's peace. There's a place. There's proof. But there's power. We need the breath of God. The mechanics of the church is not getting it done. Folks that know the Lord, we've got to have God. How will these children ever get saved without the breath of God? The power. That's why we that are saved ought to be living a separated and a holy life. Clean unto God, a testimony shining. The church house ought to be different. We're not mean to nobody. Don't look down on nobody. Lord, I love sinners. Matter of fact, them churches that don't want them people, I wish they'd all stand around the lines and listen to those stories this morning. Jesus saves. I'm not caught up in religion and doing good and looking down on people and throwing people under the bus. I tell you what that I'm interested in is Jesus saves. Jesus will give you a new purpose. Jesus will give you a new power. But you need Him. And we've got to have Him, church. And I'm glad He thought enough of them disciples. Isn't it amazing how much He thinks of us today? That He would come and look in on our lives. Bring us power. Bring us peace. Miss Kathy's going to sing this morning. We don't have church here tonight. You might as well get you some church while you're here this morning. I open this altar. It's Easter morning. I wonder, is it anything you want to come tell God? I wonder, is it anything you want to come thank Him for? While we sing, I open this altar this morning. You're here, never been saved. It'd be a good morning to come and trust Christ. I'll pray with you if you want to be saved. You come and share your burdens to the Lord. For He loves you today. He'll take good care of you. You come to Him this morning. Ask Him to help you, Miss Kathy, while we sing.